This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So last week, Jeff Belanger, what a fascinating character he is. Lots of fascinating stories. But one thing stuck out in what he said, and this is where we get to these politically incorrect things, Randall. And that is, he mentioned that one thing he doesn't like is stamp collecting. Now, I figure here, wait a minute, all the philatelists out there are going, you know what that is, are going to contact us and complain. Now, I will tell you this, I stand in the middle. When I was a kid, I was a stamp collector for several years because my dad was one. And then after a while, I got into sci-fi and UFOs. So that was the end of my stamp collecting. So if you feel offended that we are basically attacking the people who are into stamp collecting, it is not my fault. It's Jeff Belanger, and you can check him out and yell at him. Don't yell at me. Everybody else does. George Hansen, are you interested in stamp collecting at all?
Well, I did as a kid, but that was long, long ago.
You see?
No interest at this point.
Fellow traveler. Good to hear that. The other thing they had, this shows you how society has changed. I'll mention briefly. I don't know if they still have it. You had a way of buying stamps. Either you go to a store, or you go to some kind of collector's club or special event, or you order, I guess it's online now, but you order something called approvals. And approvals is where the dealer will send you some stamps. On your honor, you pay for the ones you want to keep, send your check, and send the rest back. Remember that. He's trusting you to send the rest back. All right?
I don't like a money back guarantee.
I talked to a few of those dealers. I dealt with them. They're very nice. But this is many years ago. In 2019, you can't do that because far too many people would keep that stuff.
Well, a lot of places do give you, so many days to return the product if you're not satisfied.
But with stamps, you're not prepaying. You only pay if you keep the merchandise. That's the key.
Or pay for what you use? Well, I guess it depends on where you go. I have some stamps from, I think it was my dad and his dad collected a few, and so I've got them downstairs. I have no idea if there's anything in there worth keeping, but every once in a while you hear one of these stories where somebody finds some rare stamp in some obscure book that they never really paid much attention to that's worth thousands of dollars.
Well, if I was one of those, I think the history would be better. You know, let's kind of move into our guest this week, George Hansen. He was on the Paracast 3 years ago, 2016, with our previous co-host. And we emphasized then the connections to the paranormal and the trickster. Like we have this other thing that's involved and not always doing things that are nice. For those who are not into tricksters, George, and don't want to go back for the 3 years to check the show, define a trickster.
Well, trickster is not easy to define. In fact, I sometimes give three different definitions.
So it's like talking from three sides of your mouth.
Yes. First of all, the trickster is a character type found in mythology and folklore worldwide. And there are maybe 100 or more of them. You've got Mercury of the Romans, Hermes of the Greeks, Loki of the Norse, you've got Coyote of North American Indians, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, you can also think of the trickster as what's called an archetype. And that's a term that Carl Jung popularized. And I define archetype as a collection, an abstract collection of qualities. And the trickster embodies these qualities, and some of them include marginality. The trickster is sort of a little bit an outsider on the margin, not really in the center of thing. Also, the trickster is deceptive, of course, by just the name, and rather disruptive. They tend to foment change and start fights and just stir things up. Also, the tricksters tend to violate sexual taboos, and they also tend to be associated with paranormal or supernatural powers. There are other characteristics, but those are the major ones that are of primary influence and interest to the paranormal.
John Keel referred to the alleged source of the phenomenon as ultra-terrestrials, implying they were not altogether sane, but in some ways also implying a tricksterish kind of source. What do you think?
Well, ultra-terrestrials, I would think, be above or beyond the Earth. The trickster does not fit into our ordinary rational world. And in fact, much of our rational world tends to push the trickster aside and try to make us forget about it. So the trickster often operates at this unconscious level. So things happen that we're not consciously aware of. We may do things unconsciously that produce really good results or sometimes rather detrimental results. So I think Keel was getting at this idea, and I used to attend meetings of the New York Portean Society, and I believe we met there one time very briefly. So I have a lot of respect for John, and his thinking really impacted my own. So I think he was onto something here.
Then again, if somebody does something really screwy, wouldn't that be a convenient way to blame somebody else? I didn't do it. I was controlled by the trickster.
Sure, sure. You're controlled by someone else or some spiritual force or whatever you want to call it. And that happens a lot. And in fact, in, say, spiritual mediumship, that sometimes happens rather frequently. Now, say things in a seance start moving around the room. Well, it could be due to trickery, or it could be due to actual paranormal powers being invoked and utilized. And sometimes it's, and many times it's very, very hard to know the difference. So today generally don't believe in spiritual powers, but many people do. But the official line is that, well, they don't really exist. But if there are entities out there, and I think there are, that are not physical, they may have some influence on us that we're unaware of. And certain mediums, for instance, may be unaware that they are in some sense possessed and that they will do things that they are completely unconscious of. On the other hand, maybe those spiritual beings have powers of their own. So it becomes very, very ambiguous. And one of the characteristics of the trickster is ambiguity and also ambivalence. People have a feeling, a kind of uncertain feeling about do they like the trickster or they detest the trickster or just what's going on. We don't, again, the trickster embodies an ambiguous and ambivalent character quality.
Right, yeah, they have the that ability to morph from one form to another. You know, for people who don't really get it, one thing I kind of like to do is say, well, look, in its most basic, simplistic form, everybody plays cards, and you've got that joker in there. And the joker can be anything, depending on the game. And it can show up in any place, and it can wreak havoc, or it can help you out. It's just, it's sort of like that. Is that fair?
Oh yeah, that's a really good example. And the trickster is a shapeshifter. And in fact, North American Indians understood that very well, that it had no set shape or animal associated with it. There were some that were more likely to be associated with than others, but, in reality, they viewed it as, okay, it can morph, it can change.
You know, we have so much more to talk about tricksters and relating them to different kinds of phenomena, UFOs, maybe ghosts. Of course, when we mentioned Carl Jung, we're talking about collective unconscious and how does that play. This is going to be a really fascinating episode, folks, so stay with us. With Gene and Randall, you're in
The Paracast. also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have, like, cold toes in the wintertime, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're defining our terms here, the trickster. But can we say logically maybe the trickster is us?
In part, yes, of course. The trickster is very difficult to precisely define. And I think we are part of it. The trickster is part of what makes us human. So it is difficult to pinpoint and precisely define and very clearly and distinctly define what is a trickster and what is not. And I think everyone has certain trickster qualities. And I think that's healthy. they can be overly done, and people can have too extreme of trickster characteristics, but one, I think it's helpful for survival generally. Deception is part of the human condition. Trickery is part of the human condition.
How so?
Well,
a survival mechanism?
For sure. And if there are very powerful forces that want to kill you or your tribe, sometimes the only good alternative is trickery, deceiving the powerful and the people who want to destroy you or your friends. And you can live to fight another day. So survival, yes, absolutely.
So we create our own trickster collectively, maybe?
In part, yes, indeed. We are much more connected than we often realize. There are all sorts of unconscious communications that go on between people. Expectations. If you are a small child, you are expected to behave a certain way. Sometimes if you are an outcast, you're expected to behave in certain ways. If you kind of take on a different personality and dress a little bit differently, you can present yourself in a very different light. Is this deception? Well, in some sense, yes, but not completely. You are just presenting alternate versions of yourself. Is this trickery? In some sense, yes. In some sense, no.
Well, of course, we can be different people depending on our moods, depending on our environment, depending on what happened that day to make you feel good and to make you feel not so good.
That's right.
But a practical aspect here, can we blame wars, blame authoritarians, dictators on someone where the trickster is exerting extra influence? Or is that an excuse?
That might not be a very there might be some aspects that would the trickster might help explain, but that's probably not sufficient. You know, the human mind is very complex. And there are certain areas where the trickster manifests more strongly. In the cases you cited, well, certainly there are times when you could point to that. But generally, I'm not sure it'd be terribly useful there. You'd have to give a specific instance and kind of draw it out.
And then who knows? They just might be crazy people involved.
That's right. But if they're crazy, if one is just crazy, one is probably not terribly functional.
Let's get into another specific instance in terms of a trickster. Someone like a Richard Schaber, who claimed that he heard voices from the beings below the earth. Is that some kind of influence?
Very possibly. And certainly one could raise some questions as to whether Schaber was completely sane. And there may be people who are more vulnerable to outside influences. Who may not be able to function effectively in the rational world. Is that a trickster? Perhaps. Is there a trickster aspect there? I think somewhat likely. But it may be just that the brain state, there may not be what they should be. So these are instances where it's hard to say. I think there are, when you come into fraudulent or trickery in the paranormal and in seances or in the UFO field, then I think the trickster is a little bit more easily seen. We're talking kind of hypothetically and kind of abstractly. I think it's sometimes useful to specify or talk about specific instances. And Richard Schaber is certainly one. You know, I have not studied his psychology at all. I listened to lectures at Fortean Society gatherings, but I'm not really terribly familiar with everything he did.
You know, what's fascinating here about Schaber, I knew him, by the way, and if you read the stories, the bios of Ray Palmer, for example, which include Schaber, supposedly Schaber spent a number of years in a mental institution, but there's reason to believe that he was railroaded by the family of his wife because they didn't want him marrying her. Very complicated. Maybe it was easier then. I don't know. But the guy I talked to, other than the issues with regard to the Deros and Tiros, was a really nice guy. Very pleasant to talk to. So I don't know about the rest. at all. I know that Ray Palmer, when I interviewed him in the 60s, made a point of revealing this, and I wondered, gee, is he trying to discredit Shaver? But then he said, I believe Shaver. So that made all the more confusing.
Yeah, it's likely a mix. He probably did have some pretty severe psychological problems, but even people who do have a certain amount of rationality in them, typically, and they can function to some degree.
Who knows at that point? I mean, if someone strikes you as being perfectly normal, but every so often they do something wacky, then, you know, we wonder what to do. You see, part of the problem is when we talk about things like a trickster, is people involved in these fields, they're looking for something concrete they can talk to, they can touch it. So UFOs have to be solid craft, because that makes sense. We see solid, what looks like solid craft in the sky, so it should be able to land here, and it must be controlled by someone or something. So we make them physical whether or not they are physical, because that's a way of coping with the reality.
That's a really, really good point. And I believe that these phenomena have to be looked at much more abstractly. And I like to take the example of mathematics. Well, mathematics is not concrete. It's all in the mind. You cannot go out in the real world and find a number. That's what a number is not something concrete. And I sometimes relate the trickster to differential equations. Differential equations are mathematical equations that describe change. These are highly abstract equations, and you typically don't encounter these in high school, and most people don't even study them in college. But they describe change. Well, the trickster is often a change agent.
You know, we have another change agent right here, right now. It's a change agent that spreads information about products and services. And as you know, with a commercial radio show, we often have to break and give them their chance. They're not tricksters, I don't think. George Hansen's joining us. A lot more to talk about, by the way. He's got a really fascinating bio. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Some of the 2020 presidential candidates are campaigning in Des Moines, Iowa, greeting supporters at the annual Polk County Democrat Steak Fry. The organizers of the event say they will be grilling 10,000 steaks and 1,000 vegan burgers. Now, this all comes after earlier this week at a CNN climate change town hall, many of those same Democratic candidates were lecturing folks about eating less meat. The U.S. signed an agreement on Friday that sends illegal aliens seeking asylum at the U.S.-Mexico southern border to El Salvador. Acting Customs and Border Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan tells Fox News,
"We're going to continue to do what this administration has been doing, working with the government of Mexico, working with the Northern Triangle countries to build their capacity to address this as a regional crisis, and we're going to continue to build that wall. Every mile of wall that's built, the agents are safer, they can do their job better, and this country is safer."
This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right. George Hansen, we're talking about tricksters trying to take something which is a very abstract concept in many ways and trying to bring it down to earth, and I don't know whether we really could. Because I think it's easy when talking about something like this to put it in a way that most people will say, I'm not interested in that, and they should be, right?
Well, if they're going to study the paranormal, they're going to need to. Otherwise, they're not going to make much progress. There is a certain amount of abstraction that is necessary to understand these phenomena. And if one simply thinks about the phenomena in concrete terms, one is likely to become a victim of the phenomena.
Well, the thing, of course, is we want ghosts to be spirits of the dead. We want Bigfoot to be like a missing link. Things like that. And UFOs, again, solid craft from Zeta Reticuli or something. And I guess to some degree that's something we're doing. On the other hand, even if that craft you see is real and it does come from outer space, it doesn't mean the individuals who might be piloting those spaceships aren't confronting a trickster type thing too. I would assume this is something universal, right?
Well, the trickster certainly is a universal figure. Virtually all societies in their myths and have tricksters. So this is not something new. This is a very, very old idea. People for thousands of years have recognized this aspect of reality.
Well, it's really interesting, and I think I get where you're going here. And, of course, our former co-host, Christopher O'Brien, who I believe was the last co-host when you were on, he spoke very highly of you and wrote his own book about it as well, which is also very good. And we get talking about tricksters. We go beyond just the idea of the subjective versus the objective reality, because we're not just talking about the trickster as the root of the phenomena, but about the root of the phenomena being hidden behind another layer that we can't be sure exactly what it is. it might be an objective reality, say an alien with some sort of special cloaking suit that enables it to take on different forms and people actually therefore are seeing something real. But the idea then is that even if that's the case, what that alien would be doing or being or entity would be taking on the role of the trickster in that mythological sense that you're talking about. Am I on the right track there?
You're on the right track, especially at the beginning when you mentioned subjective and objective. And this is a very fundamental idea that we can make that distinction between subjective and objective. And in fact, this is what the trickster, in a very abstract sense, deals with. The trickster says outright, you cannot clearly demarcate subjective and objective. And in fact, the research in parapsychology makes that very clear, that the experimenter who runs the experiment has an influence, whether they are aware of it or not. And this has been found in a number of studies. One is cannot completely disengage from the environment. One is always influencing the environment and other people around them. So for most types of scientific work, you can make that distinction fairly clear, and any kind of blurring between the subjective and objective has very little effect. It's negligible. But in parapsychology and in the paranormal fields in general, this is a key, what's called a binary opposition. Typically, we think one can be subjective or objective. This in-between area is what the trickster plays in. And it's this in-between area that is not easily conceptualized in our ordinary everyday reality.
Well, it's like an actor. Like when we watch something on television and we get involved in a character, we're not looking at the actor anymore. We're looking at a portrayal. That is completely fictitious.
That's a really, really good example. In fact, there's a very interesting book, The Way of the Actor by Brian Bates. And at the very beginning, he starts talking about psychic phenomena very early in the book. When one takes upon a role, is one really oneself, or is one becoming the character they are portraying? And in some cases, it's very, very difficult for the actor to disengage from the character. So Bates talks about psychic phenomena very explicitly in the book, in The Way of the Actor. So this is recognized. And actors, I suspect, tend to have a little bit more of these abilities. They can change. They can sort of shape-shift more easily than others. Mediums are sort of the same way. They can take the role of whoever seems to be possessing them or whoever they're talking with in the spirit world. So this whole idea of actors taking on a different role is a very wonderful example of what we're talking about.
Well, we also have to look at actors will physically gain or lose weight for a specific character, like Christian Bale was in a film called, I think, Machinist. He lost like 50 pounds, all right? And in fighting trim for Batman Begins, he was up like 210 or something like that. Then he ballooned himself to play Dick Cheney. And this is one guy is a British actor, a Welshman. I mean, a brilliant actor and everything like that. I just think the toll it takes on your body. I mean, it's one thing where you bulk up a little bit because you're a superhero and you want to look the part, at least somewhat, because they stick reinforcements in the costumes to make them even bigger. We understand that, make it look realistic. But sometimes they get pretty crazy.
Oh, yes. This is a wonderful example. And then some people even have difficulty disengaging from the character. Who are they for a while? There is this blurred identity, and that is highly characteristic of tricksters. Tricksters can move from one to the other. Sometimes they will get stuck in one character when they're trying to move into the other. But this whole idea of ambivalence or ambiguity here is really very well illustrated with these examples.
What are some sort of examples that we could go through? Like, you know, I guess maybe one of the most obvious that comes to mind for me is the whole Spring-Heeled Jack type character from it, which may be an urban myth. I don't know, but I swear I saw a guy that looked just like this character after the last time we were talking on the show about them. Like after the last show that you were on, I was out on my front walk and this guy I swear he was in full costume at this pointy chin. He didn't even look totally human, just went by my front walk really quickly and disappeared off behind a hedge. And I thought that is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Had a cape on and the whole bit. Wasn't Halloween. I don't know why he was there. And so I went down to this just to see, because I can see the whole block and there was just nobody there.
Interesting. Also, the trickster is associated with synchronicities. In fact, there's quite a good book, Synchronicity, Science, Myth, and the Trickster. So tricksters are associated with divination procedures, which are also involved synchronicity.
So there we were talking about it and I was into this on the show. I'm out there thinking about, is that just synchronicity or did I help conjure up this whole thing somehow?
Probably a little of both. You can conjure up you can conceptualize synchronicities as in almost many aspects of paranormal phenomena. ESP, for instance, could be considered a synchronicity. It just depends how you want to define the terms. And if you start analyzing very carefully, there is no real way of distinguishing is something ESP or synchronicity. This gets sort of into a technical argument, but it's never really been resolved in parapsychology.
We've got more to come with George Hansen, tricksters, parapsychology, lots more stuff to talk about. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, he's being taken over by the trickster, Randall. You see that? Now, the point I'm going to ask you here, George, to what degree can we take control of this force, or are we mostly the victims? Obviously, you're talking about sometimes, at least, taking control.
Well, that's always an issue. I think most of the time the trickster in our society has relatively small influence. Our society is we live a fairly regulated life for most people. You know, you get up at a certain time, you go to work at a certain time, you see the same people day after day. The trickster is more likely to manifest when people are outside of their ordinary routine. When they are maybe on vacation or traveling someplace they've not been before, where they're meeting different and new people. In fact, again, the book Synchronicity, Science, Myth, and the Trickster points out that synchronicities are more likely to occur during such periods. And that's certainly been my experience. When I'm in an ordinary workaday world, synchronicities are not so likely to happen. But when I'm traveling or in a new location, more odd things happen.
Well, tell us about some of them while you're on this time. We'd like to hear some of your personal experiences.
Okay, well, I have to sit down and think about that. I'm not that fast on my feet. Well, a couple times I've been over in Europe just walking the streets, and I have run into people from my hometown. And I was over in Europe for a fairly short period of time. And I rarely, where I was living, I rarely ran into people who I knew. So those would be one example that I can think of just off the top of my head.
Yeah, that sort of seems like it's beyond just mere coincidence, doesn't it? So when you're talking about synchronicity, there's a point where you maybe can't differentiate between some sort of psychic phenomena like ESP and synchronicity. It's not, though, just coincidence. Because we could say, okay, well, I suppose that the universe could put coincidentally the idea of your friend coming into your, sphere of existence, and then it would happen, and it doesn't really mean anything. But doesn't synchronicity kind of imply something beyond that, some sort of purpose or meaning?
Yes. In fact, the definition includes a meaningful coincidence. So that is definitely a aspect. It's not coincidences. And again, you've got a bit of ambiguity. Well, who's imparting meaning to the event? And it's the persons involved. And you can make, again, it's a matter of interpretation. Like in divination, when you throw the dice or use the whatever types of divination system you've got, the tarot cards or whatever, you've got to interpret. You have to read into these physical items that are sort of randomly scattered or presented to you. And again, both the diviner and the person who is being divined for impart meaning into it. And it's sometimes very useful and very helpful. But it's difficult to determine that by an outsider.
What about divining rods?
I've used them. I've walked across areas, and sometimes the rods open up or close, and try to interpret, okay, there are pipelines here. In fact, I worked for a major engineering firm, and I was out on a job site, and one of the principals took a couple of welding rods, bent them, and walked out and found pipelines. So, again, there's a sort of an interpretation that one has to impart, but one sometimes puts that in the mind. Okay, you want to find something, you use dowsing rods or a pendulum, and try to get an answer. It may be largely in the mind of the person who is doing the dowsing, and someone outside would not be sure just what was being indicated.
Mental connection. Of course, you are a member of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, and of course, we all know James Randi, who is also a magician, and he did one of his experiments where he invited several dowsers who claimed to be experts to locate these pipes that were in a particular location that was set up beforehand, and nobody was able to really provide any convincing evidence. So what's going on there then?
That's a really good question. There, I don't know all the conditions of Randi's experiment. I remember reading a brief account of it many, many years ago. We don't really know. Are there certain types of circumstances in which these techniques work effectively? And are there times when they don't? I suspect that typically when we do experiments in the laboratory, we have a very small number of people involved, and we are pretty well focused on what we want to accomplish. When things are done in a larger public venue with lots of observers milling around and the like, I would not expect particularly strong results. In fact, I don't know of any really good cases like that. I suspect there has to be some type of joint intention to accomplish or a goal or to determine a particular outcome. But large groups involved with these kinds of testing do not seem to facilitate positive results.
So it has to be kind of a personal thing where you have the divining rod and you look for the water or whatever you're doing with it. And wouldn't that be also true with the Ouija board, that only a small group of people are capable of using it at one time because of the size and shape of the board?
I think that's part of it. And I don't think you'd want to have 20 or 30 people in the room with you when you're using it, unless they're all pretty well committed to whatever is being attempted there. So I think there are times when it can be done with large groups, but fairly rarely. In earlier societies, certainly, there are accounts of very major phenomena being reported. But that's not in today's society, where in a small, what one might term primitive group, there is probably a very strong bond between the people, and they all have the general idea of getting, good things happen for their group. And that might be more conducive to positive results.
Well, okay, so you have done this yourself. And obviously, if you're out working in the field and you're looking for a pipeline underground or some sort of a conduit, you're going to have people that you work with. And they're probably going to be watching you. And you probably
not in my experience.
No.
Generally, that's done for There may be a couple people, but generally not with large numbers, in my experience.
Yeah, maybe a handful from the crew or whatever you think.
Not necessarily. Sometimes it's done before the crew gets there.
Oh, interesting.
I'm just thinking, in my experience, that's been the case.
Okay, well, yeah, hey, you're talking to another person who's done this. So I'm just kind of trying to compare experiences here. We're just coming up to the break here soon, so maybe I'll pick up a little bit more on it after the break. But for people out there who were skeptical of the whole dowsing thing, it's okay to be skeptical. But I've seen some pretty interesting stuff myself when it comes to this. So I think there's something more to it.
But isn't it true also that when people try to give a demonstration of their abilities and it doesn't work, they will say, well, there are too many skeptics in the audience and they are therefore interfering with the process. Or maybe, you know, it's an excuse. It's a fluke. Someone can do something and we don't know what it is, but it's a fluke. Even our old friend Jim Moseley was once, I think, doing it with cards where he knew what the next card was for a period of time. And then he lost the ability. But for that period of time, he knew what he's going to see. So perhaps he had an ability or something helped him out. We don't know. And then he was Jim Moseley again.
I think there is something to that. And I do think that when you have groups of people with conflicting influences and conflicting desires, the results will not be the same. Now, this is very, very difficult to fully test. In fact, there is something called the replicability problem within parapsychology. No question, repeating the results over and over has not really been fully achieved. Yet, nevertheless, there are times when you get, and I've seen very, very striking results.
We're going to have more of this in the next segment with George, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.